Pastor Chris came up to me about weeks ago, told me he wants me to preach something on the Jesus series, and it's an honor. It's terrifying, but it's an honor. And it's been a while since I preached. Bear with me. You know, I give a little excerpts here and there before the offering and stuff like that, but a full sermon, it's been a while. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's in charge. Wherever he leads. So the people in the back, can you put my timer on 30 minutes? So I don't hit that hour. I don't want to go over the hour. And I say inside joke. They tease me because I have short sermons. Not the shortest. Arthur told his life story one time and took up an extra 10 minutes. His was 5 minutes, so... But I used to be a youth pastor, so my sermons were short, compact, just give it out before they lose their attention. So let's all turn to John 12, 1 to 8. Let's all stand. Bear with me. I was all good up until offering, and then the nerves came, but you know what? Okay, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was and had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had made money and had the money box and used it to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. And we just thank you for what you're going to do here this morning and what you continue to do, Lord. Lord, use me as your vessel, Lord Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit lead and guide. And use me, Lord, as your mouthpiece. Not my words, your words, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here was Mary. Took a jar of perfume, broke it, and anointed Jesus' feet. And then she wiped it with her hair. But this isn't just any kind of oil. It was expensive. And back in those days, it was about a year's salary. About 300 denarii was about a year's salary. So I did some calculating. And this would be about $21,000 if somebody was work minimum wage here in Hawaii. So $21,000 jar of oil. She broke it and just wiped and washed Jesus' feet with it. Think about that, $21,000. Can you imagine your whole salary you worked for and you just wash Jesus' feet in it? But she's saying here, "God, you're worth it. Take it all." And there's a few things I want to touch on here in this passage, but I want to focus on one main thing, the sacrifice Mary gave to Jesus. The sacrifice of that expensive oil that she didn't really care, she didn't even think twice about, and she gave it to Jesus. Sacrifice it for Jesus, a whole year's salary, saying, "Jesus, you're worth the sacrifice. I don't care what the cost is. You're worth it." Now, how many of you can actually give that to God? You work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and at the end of the year, December 31st, saying, "Here, God," and you dump it in the offering bowl, $21,000. Can you guys do it? Maybe some of you guys even more, but can you do it? That's what Mary did. It would be easy for Mary if she was rich, but she wasn't. In Romans 12, 1 to 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. We just sang this song, let this be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life to worshiping you. And how appropriate, we just talked about giving it all to Christ. Getting rid of that loser mentality. Sacrifice. Meaning to kill, to slay. And God is asking us to give ourselves to him. Sacrifice ourselves, die to ourselves, kill our fleshly desires, and live for God. We no longer live for ourselves, we're living for God. That's the ultimate sacrifice we can give to God. Ourselves. Easy, right? Easy. If it was easy, we wouldn't have these altar calls. If it was easy, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. Sacrifice hurt. It's hard. When you slay something, it hurts. Sacrifices should hurt because it's not easy to give up. Your life, every day living for Christ, it's hard. It's not an easy thing. And here in America, probably Christianity, we probably sacrifice the least out of all the other religions around this world. We're so comfortable here. We don't get persecuted that much. Like other countries, you know, the Buddhists, they give their life. The monks up in the hills, they give their whole life to their religion. Jehovah Witnesses, you see them all over the place. They're going door to door. They don't care. They're going to go and do what their religion, to spread their religion. Islam, they die for their religion. And here in America, we don't experience that persecution like other countries. Like the Christians now in Iraq. Getting killed for their faith. Imagine someone, say at a workplace, at school, whatever. Coming into your workplace, putting a gun to your head and say, are you a Christian? If you say yes, I'm pulling the trigger. Would we die? Would we say yes? And that's what these Christians are facing. It's hard. Even Peter who loved God, who loved Jesus, was always there for Jesus. See, I would never deny you, Jesus. Even he denied Jesus. Even he said, I don't know him. He's scared. And that's why we cannot get stuck in religion. We need to have that relationship with Christ. We need to get rid of that Sunday mentality. Coming to church, singing songs, hearing a good word, having that altar call, and then going out and we're going back to our same life. Living our life. Our saying here is, don't go to church, be the church. Because we're not just coming to church. Our life should be the church. When we go out of these walls, we're bringing the church to the people. Our life needs to be a worship to God. It's a 24/7 thing. It's not a 2-3 hour thing on Sunday mornings. It's an everyday thing. It's no longer our life. It's my life living for Christ. And some of us would only give a portion to God. Say Mary just poured half the bottle on Jesus. It wouldn't mean as much. Yeah, she's sacrificing a little. But she's not giving everything. It's like us saying, God, you can have my Fridays. I don't go out anyways. So you can have it. But Saturdays is my day. It's hard. Sacrificing is hard. See, I'm into sports and stuff like that, lifting weights, so I'm going to use that as an example. But a bodybuilder need to sacrifice in order to reach his goal. If he doesn't, he won't win. If he doesn't train every single day, work out to his maximum, as much as he can, not eating ice cream every day, he's not going to reach his goal. No matter how hard he tries, there has to be sacrifice. The pros, professional football players, professional basketball, whatever, they're elite players at their position because they sacrificed from when they were young to where they are now to reach their goal. A lot of sacrifice to reach a goal. And many of us know what our goal is. We want to reach our goal, but we don't want to sacrifice to obtain it. We're not willing to let it go. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may attain it. Run in such a way that you won't give up. Get rid of the loser mentality. When we're running for Christ, we're winners. We're a new creation in God. And most of us here probably have something holding us back from truly sacrificing from God, from giving our life to God, where something's holding us back. Matthew, turn to Matthew 19, 16 through 30. Here is this young ruler. And now behold, one came and said to him, verse 16, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, what do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wanted to follow Christ, but his wealth was holding him back. He couldn't let it go. And some of us have that same problem. You want to follow Jesus. You want to give him your all. But there's something holding you back. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, whatever it is, whatever you have in your life that you cannot get rid of, that's holding you back. Whatever you're going to put in front of Christ, saying, Christ, I can't let go yet, you're putting that as your idol above God. When I'm done having my fun, I'll completely serve you. Maybe we don't really say that out loud, but that's how we live our life sometimes. God, I cannot let go of this yet. I'm having too much fun yet. But when I get older, when I'm over this, then I'll give my life to you. So you remember about two weeks back, I talked briefly about your past. And some of you holding on to some of your past. You can't move forward. You can't completely surrender to God until you let go of your past. Whatever your situation, your unforgiveness that you're holding on to, you need to let it go. We're a new creation. Those things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 17. Sorry, I'm going to jump around a lot of scriptures. So if you guys, it should be up there. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and then and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we are in Christ, we're a new creation. All the stuff that we used to do, all the stuff that we love to do, we hold on to, is no longer. It's no longer we're living for ourselves anymore. Our life is for Christ. We need to start that new life with him. Those of you came up to the altar, getting rid of that loser mentality, whatever's holding you back, we don't need to go out there and go back to the same thing. We're a new creation. God freed us from whatever bondage we're going through, whatever situation you're going through. We're a new creation. Here's one. Some of us can't move on, can't give it all to God because we're comfortable where we're at. We have this bubble around us. And anything that doesn't belong in the bubble, we're not going to let through. Wait, God. You want me to do what? You want me to talk to that person about you? Wait, you want me to pray for him? No ways. Getting out of our comfort zone. Part of sacrificing yourself is doing what you're least comfortable doing. See, I'm a shy person. I was a shy person. I think I'm still shy, but I was comfortable in high school. I mean, I grew up in church. All my life, I grew up in church. And in high school, you know, I used to just come to church, do my routine. I was comfortable where I was at. Then I went to college. I went to Washington. Did the same thing. You know, I went to church because I know that would please my parents. Not please God, I would please my parents. I was comfortable where I was at. Then I ended up in Georgia. From Washington to Georgia. But something changed my life. I had a turn in my life. I went to a Christian college, finished my education there. Of course, Chris Guys was there. My wife, Arthur Guys, was all up there. But God started to take me out of my comfort zone. When I started to surrender my life to him, he took me out of my comfort zone. And I came back for the summer, one of the summers, and then God told me to start youth, start getting involved in the youth. So I said, okay. I went back up to school, finished my one more semester, and I took youth ministry classes. I went to youth conferences, everything, learned everything about youth, how I can become a youth pastor, whatnot, what I should be doing. Came back home, and reality hit, right? I got comfortable again. But then there was this lady that came to our church, and she came up to me during altar, and she said, she prayed for me. I said, you know what? God is telling me that you're going to work with the youth. So that's the second time God told me that. I said, all right, all right, all right. A few weeks later, there was a revival in Haile Mali, a revival service. And I was helping the youth. I didn't take over yet. And then I said, okay, God, if you really want me to do this, then I want you to, they were prophesying over people. Have them prophesy over me from the pulpit. And loud and clear, I think the clearest I heard God, he said, I told you twice. I don't need to tell you the third time. And I got put in my place. And I started taking over the youth ministry. But he took me out of my comfort zone. Because in college, my worst class was speech. I cannot get in front of people and talk. So me doing this right here is all God. This is not me. I hate this. But you know what? God can use anybody when you get out of your comfort zone. God desires to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. And even with God's house, we ended the youth ministry. Me and my wife, we had our one, Taven, and things happened, but we got out of our youth ministry. We got a little comfortable, we raised our family. We still went to church, still a little bit involved in church and stuff like that. And I suppose when Chris came by, I was still doing the youth ministry, and he told me he wanted me to take over the youth. But then years went by. Finally, Chris moved back home after he said he was going to every year. He's going to move back home. But God moved me into a different area. It was no longer youth. But it was still hard for me because I was comfortable where I was at. It took me a long time because I knew my calling was still with Chris to work to build this church. But I was comfortable where I was at. Me and my wife were comfortable. And we weren't sure yet. Should we do this? Oh, our freedom is going to be lost. Oh, we have our two kids now, you know. But getting out of that comfort zone, moving forward, and seeing now what God is doing and how God works. I mean, just maybe a month ago, I think we only had this rose right here. And look at what God is doing now. But some of you guys need to get out of your comfort zone and say, here I am, God. Use me in any way you desire. Now, that's the hard thing. Use me in any way you desire. Not where I want to be, where you want to be, where you want me to be. Because I want your desires, not my own. Some of you, he may put you where your talent is. Some of you, he may not. But he will use you in a mighty way if you surrender everything to him and say, God, you just use me. He's calling some of you guys to do great things in the kingdom. But some of us aren't ready to really surrender everything to him. And he can't use you until you surrender everything to him. We need to give up on things that we can't let go of. We got to give up things. And when we do, we'll experience the full freedom that God has intended for us. Going back to the original passage in John 12, chapter 12, verse 4, he says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was the fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used it to take what was put in it. And we may face ridicule in our life. Once we surrender everything to God and say, God, here I am, use me in such a mighty way, you're going to face ridicule. You're going to have people say, why are you guys always going to church? Why are you guys always just doing stuff for the church? Oh, look at the nice day. The surf is up. Let's go to the beach today. No need to go to church today. When we sacrifice ourselves for the Lord, people will talk. Your friends, your family. I even have family that's saying, why you guys always go to church all the time? To my parents, to us. They have this family dinner every Sunday or luncheons, whatever, and we don't go because we're at church. And that's all they say. Why you guys always got to go to church? But like Mary, our focus is on Jesus. Not what others say, but on Jesus. God, what do you want me to do? I give my life to you. I'm kneeling at your feet. Here I am, God. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Martha. See, Martha was working for God. And she was working hard. In Luke 10, 38-42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister had left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary had chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And some of us think we're being a Mary, but we're actually a Martha. We're so busy doing things for the Lord. See, this is the opposite now. Maybe we are giving ourselves to the Lord. We're working, working, working for the Lord. I think our works are good enough. And we miss out what God is saying. Mary listened to Jesus first. She was at the feet of Jesus listening. We cannot be a doer of the word if we're not a first hearer of the word. We need to hear what God is saying before we can actually do something. So just remember, we need to have that Mary mentality. I'm not saying Martha was bad, because she was working for the Lord, but she wasn't listening first. God gave the ultimate sacrifice. John 3:16, most of us know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Can we give back to God and give ourselves to him? A father who gave the ultimate sacrifice, because that's how much he loved us. Look at your family, your friends, somebody close to you. Would you sacrifice something for them? Would you give up your life for them? Probably you would. If you're a father or you're a mother, you would give your life for your child. But that's how we need to look at it at God. That we love God so much that we're going to sacrifice ourselves. We're going to give ourselves to him. And we need to look at it, God, that we love him so much that giving ourselves isn't a sacrifice. It's a joy. I found this story. There was a Christian businessman traveling in Korea in a field by the side of the road. And there was a young man pulling a rude plow while an old man held the handles. And the businessman was amused and took a snapshot of the scene. "I suppose these people are very poor," he said to the missionary, who was the interpreter and guide to the party. He said, "Yes," was a quiet reply. "Those two men happy to be Christians. When the church was being built, they were eager to give something toward it. But they had no money. So they decided to sell one, their one and only ox, and give the proceeds to the church. This spring, they are pulling the plows by themselves." And the businessman was silent for a moment. Then he said, "That must have been a real sacrifice." And the guy answered, "They did not call it that," said the missionary. "They thought to themselves, they were fortunate that they had an ox to sell." And when the businessman reached home, he took the picture to the pastor, told him about it. Then he added, "I want to double my giving to the church and do some plow work. Up until now, I had never given God anything that involved real sacrifice." And some of us, we think the same of our sacrifice to God. Sacrifice is giving something that will change your life. It will hurt. But if we love God that much, it'll be a joy. Because we're doing it for God. I like what Jesus tells Mary. "You are worried and upset about many things." Sorry, Martha. "But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and that will not be taken from her." In Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And when we do love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we can sacrifice joyfully. We can give God everything. We can give ourselves and say, "God, here I am. Take all of me. Surrender everything to him. So if you take anything out, remember what God did for us. The love he shown for us. And it's just a small thing to give ourselves back to him. Let's all stand. Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love that you've shown to us by giving your only son. And Father, we come here this morning to surrender all to you. Father, whatever is in our life that's holding us back from truly serving you, Father, I pray that we just get rid of it. Sacrifice it for you. Give our all to you, Lord Jesus, and just say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm going to serve you with my whole heart. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will move through us in such a mighty way. Get us out of our comfort zone. Change us in such a mighty way, Lord. We're not going to walk out these doors the same person. Father, that we become the church. We don't just come to church, we are the church. Wherever we are, Lord Jesus, in school, at work, that people see a difference in us. That people see that we're not the same. And they want what we have. But Father, I just pray, Lord, that each one here, whatever's holding them back, whatever sacrifices they need to make in their lives, they just surrender it here this morning. We thank you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.